Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's 11 minutes after 4. Jonathan Lowe has entered the studio. Susan Blanche here. Jordana Green here. Thanks for taking some time to hang out with us. And I have a bit of an announcement. It's actually just a tease because I'm announcing that there will be an announcement. And don't be fooled. Frank Vassalero is totally in on this, by the way. Frank, you over there at TV?
Yes, I want to know what the announcement is.
The announcement is that there's going to be a big announcement on Thursday about the future of this very show.
Oh, really? So this is a pre-announcement.
This is a pre-announcement. This is the ramp up to the big announcement.
What's going on?
It's big. It's big.
It's a fantastic tease. Can you tell us any more?
Well, it will be announced what is going to happen with the future of the show.
Okay.
Who will be hosting it, what kind of show will be, what it will look like, what it will sound like, how it will change and evolve and be exciting and fresh and new and all that great stuff.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness.
Yes. All of those things.
So that means I won't be a part of it any longer.
Absolutely. In fact, you will be the new host. No, I'm just kidding. That's really not happening. But of course you will, Frank. You're fun.
I am?
Yeah. Okay. Come on, Frank. You're fun and sexy and new and fresh. And you, how was basketball?
It was great. We won.
Nice.
Sam's team won.
And did he have a good game?
He had, he played 7 games. He had 5 good games,
fantastic,
an average game, and 1 poor game.
But you know what that happens? That's a pretty good average right there.
Yeah.
Nice.
And yeah, it was great. We ended up playing a team from Australia for in the finals. And boy, were they ever good.
Yeah. Well, we have a couple of Australians in town this week for a less fun story in the news.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of them here. It's we're working on an international story right now.
Yeah, I know you are. We
for
are
sure.
too. We just took the presser of Don DeMont live. So, what do you guys have for us?
Well, you know what? I don't know if I can add too much. You know, since you've done that, have you got the statement from Thomas Plunkett? He's the attorney for Noor, the officer involved in the
shooting. We do not have that. Susan, can you?
We might have just got it ourselves because our reporter's been working on it.
Okay. I think they might have had it in news. It hasn't come across my desk yet, but I'm going to get it. But okay. Go ahead. So share that with me.
Well,
it's new to me.
He just said he sends his condolences to the family. He's been very touched by it. He takes their loss seriously. Mm-hmm. He said they're in their thoughts and prayers. It says he, and I'm quoting, he came to the U.S. at a young age and is thankful to have had so many opportunities. He takes these events very seriously because for him, being a police officer is a calling. He entered the police force to serve the community and protect the people he serves. Officer Noor is a caring person with a family he loves, and he empathized with the loss others are experiencing. The current environment for police is difficult, but Officer Noor accepts this as part of his calling. And then he's not going to, and he said he doesn't want to say any more for out of respect for privacy for himself and for the victim, Justine DeMond, who is from Australia. And that was what you were leading to. That's
exactly
why there's so many Australians. We had reporters in our newsroom up until 1 a.m. doing interviews with Australian radio stations. I mean, there's a huge thirst for more information. And it's just so hard to understand as we piece together why he shot this woman that called the police to report some kind of incident.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he was in the passenger side and he shot her right past the driver, fellow police officer, and the woman was standing, from what we understand, in the window, the door of the driver of the of the police cruiser.
That's right.
Hard to explain.
It is, and there's
no
so
weapon,
many
we can
questions.
Tell you that. That's another fact. I mean, you don't want to deal in facts, right? So we know that to be the case. We know now that there was no gun found. Mm-hmm. Her cell phone was found there.
I mean, the greatest question, of course, for me, and not other than why, is how. And how were there no cameras rolling?
Right. That's the other thing. So we're doing our whole good question tonight at 10 is what are the rules on body cameras? When do they have to be initiated? So there, I can tell you there are no specific instances, an instance, Jordana, when the camera will automatically activate.
Well, can we make that happen, though?
Well, that, or you have to maybe firm up the policy right now. So about 10% of Minnesota law enforcement agencies wear body cameras.
Right.
And right now there are no state guidelines, right? They're department by department. So the rules in Minneapolis call for them recording most interactions officers have with people. But I think the exact language is they can turn the body camera on when it's safe to do so. And when they believe that they're going to be in a situation where they're going to have some interaction with people.
It's interesting.
As opposed to them just, you know, like, you know, lights and siren go on, it immediately flips on. Or every time you get out of the car, you've got to turn it on.
Right.
Or in this case, that wouldn't matter because they were in the car. But so we're gonna do a good question about what the rules are
right.
and what it is. So the Minneapolis wording is that a police officer is required to wear the body camera and to activate it anytime they could, quote, reasonably anticipate they'll need to record an incident.
Okay. Well,
so you know why they
that might change.
Why didn't flip them on as soon as they pulled in the alley? I don't know.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting that it's at their discretion.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll be watching tonight. That is a really good question. I know you'll have answers for us because
what
everybody's asking.
We'll try. And maybe this leads to much more of a policy and guideline. But, you know, and then the other interesting thing is that, you know, usually, you know, the police union's been really quiet on this. And usually they're not. You know, usually they're pretty adamant about defending things and what happened mm-hmm. and saying things. But I think they're searching for more information, too, before they come out with any real firm statements.
I know. It's
you know
just
what I mean?
Such a head scratcher.
Yeah, it's so sad.
It's so sad. We had a friend of Justine's on, and just she was just sharing with her life because we have so many unanswered questions, Frank. You know, you mm-hmm. don't want to speculate about this. We really have no idea what the heck happened there. It did not go down as expected for anybody, so we shouldn't speculate. But we did talk to a friend of Justine's just about her life. You know, she was a great person, a spiritual counselor, an energy healer. And her friend Nancy Cune said, you know, that she wouldn't feel hateful about this. She would be outraged, but she wouldn't want us to feel hateful. She'd want us to learn and grow and move on from it. And I thought, oh my goodness, I feel hateful and I didn't even know this woman. I feel angry that this happened. And she just lived that kind of life. She was that kind of person. So we got to get to know her a little bit here.
Well, that was nice. That was good of you to do.
Oh, so sad.
It is.
There is other news today, I know, that you want to share with me as well.
There's quite a bit going on. And sadly, it's one of those downer days.
It really is.
With this being the biggest thing. But then also we found out tonight that Belle Plaine City Council is going to have a meeting to talk about maybe getting rid of that free speech area after all the controversy. We talked about this on your show.
Sure.
You know, about it started going back a few months ago with people putting a veteran monument over mm-hmm. a cross. And then a group said, you can't put a cross in a public land. So they created a free speech zone where people could put whatever they want. So they moved the statue over there. And then since it's a free speech zone, this group, the Satanic Movement group, said, we're going to put our own veterans memorial, which was this black cube with a right. pentagram in it. And that got people really, really upset, mm-hmm. saying the Satanic group shouldn't do that. And it's part of an international movement. And so now they're thinking about first thing. Friday night, the family that put the traditional soldier over the cross has removed it. And now they're thinking as a city council about getting rid of the whole concept of the free speech zone. And if that's the case, then they could legally get rid of the Satanic monument as well.
Oh, the price we have to pay for that, though. You know, removing the whole free speech zone to get rid of that.
Yeah.
And what bugs me about this story is that they're from Massachusetts, Frank. And you told me that little fact. It's not even a local group.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. But I mean, they're pushing, you know, separation of church and state and some free First Amendment rights on that stuff. So anyway, we'll follow it. We'll see what happens. We'll be at that meeting. And then we're doing a lot of digging on the Officer Neuer shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have a couple of reporters on that. And we'll have the very latest, of course, at 10. But we've got some new stuff at 5 and 6 now with these attorneys talking and
sure.
other people talking. So.
And, you know, my takeaway is that Sam is an excellent basketball player and that he played well and they won. And I'm really happy about that.
Well, thank you. It was really fun. The Aaron's Sea Show was in Milwaukee. So it was cool. The Blue Angels were flying around. And the weather, you know, being on Lake Michigan, boy, it was so much cooler than it is here.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. I'm glad you had a nice time away.
Well,
I got to
sweet of you to
catch
ask.
Up with Amelia. That was nice, too.
Oh, good. How did that go?
Well, we
a
got
lot
in,
of bad-mouthing of Frank on the air?
No, we got in, like, you know, maybe 4 minutes of news after we just kind of gabbed and kibitzed and, you know, caught up.
Because there's a number of complaints she can file. And then I'm going to another basketball tournament in Las Vegas with Sam, and you'll be on the air with her. And because she filed a number of complaints with me today.
Oh, well, I can't wait to hear them then. I'm going to tease that. That's a big announcement.
Yeah, do that. All right, Thursday? Is that what you said again?
Thursday. Big announcement here. Big announcement here at WCC.
Are you going to do it on this show at 4 o'clock, or are they going to start it with, like, Dave Lee at 7 in the morning?
No. The big announcement will be at 5 o'clock, Frank.
5 p.m. big announcement.
Yeah. You're getting a scoop.
Okay.
Okay. So just stay tuned. Spread the word.
I'm curious myself. It's a great tease.
It's a good tease.
All right, Jordana.
All right, my friend. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. 5, 6, and 10, Frank Vassalero and his lovely bride Amelia and co-anchor. Good, fun people to talk to. It is 4:21. When we get back, I'm going to check in with Edgar Linares. Edgar was over at Don DeMond's when he gave the press conference about his now dead Justine DeMond, his fiance. So we want to check in with Edgar, see what else we may have missed about that, and update that story when we return. Jordana here. The news click from Friday. Belle Plaine had created that free speech zone. You heard Frank talking about it in my segment with him. At their Veterans Memorial Park to accommodate anyone who wishes to memorialize their religion or doctrine. Is this a good solution? 37% of you said yes. 63% of you said no. And here's a couple of comments on the news click because we're going to ask you another one today. On Facebook, you replied, Jan says, we either believe in free speech or we don't. I find the Satan thing disgusting, but if it's legally protected speech, it must be tolerated, no matter how much we dislike it. Kenneth says, lots of men fought and died to preserve freedom of religion and speech. The military is one of the places most would not realize the number of religions that are recognized, with 221 being formally recognized, including atheists. And Bill says, this entire nation is a free speech zone. Who decided to limit it? There you go. So only 37% of you said yes, and 63% of you said no. Today we're asking something different. Of course, it's of this breaking story that we've been covering all day. Our Edgar Linares is actually over. He was over at the press conference at Don DeMond's home. The question we're asking you today is, should it be mandatory that police body cams be turned on when an officer responds to a call? Should it be mandatory that they automatically turn on, or that they have to turn them on when they respond to a call? The answers are yes or no. You can get our news click on our CCO Facebook site. It'll take you to our website where you can vote. But then leave your comment. Leave your comment. We want to know why. Why yes or why no? Edgar Linares was in front of the home of Don DeMond near the area where Justine DeMond was shot and killed on Saturday night. And he covered the press conference for us. He's joining us now on the phone. Edgar, good afternoon. Jonathan, can you pull up Edgar?
You got me there?
Yeah. Can you hear me, sir?
I can hear you.
All right. So you were there. I know there is international press there, correct, Edgar?
Yeah, there is a number of outlets that have come out, especially from Australia. They made the trip out here as soon as they got the news. My understanding was that there was a lot of on their local news, well, I guess their national news there in Australia. This is like one of the lead stories there right now.
See, that's interesting. Did you get a chance to speak with them? I mean, is it because there was gun violence involved and that's a national story?
I believe it's a combination of just the big stories that have happened out of Minneapolis, and now it involves one of their own people, I think is what's attracted them to come out here, meaning the big stories that have come out with the Jamar Clark shooting, mm-hmm. the Philando Castile shooting, all the latest shootings that have happened, and now an Australian woman who called 911 is now shot and killed. I think I got a chance to speak with a couple of journalists from New York that came here, mm-hmm. And just they're shocked to hear what happened, as many are.
We used to be called Murderapolis. I hope we are no longer getting that title back. It's not a title that we want, and we worked hard to stop. But Edgar, we got to see Don DeMond, who is Justine's fiance, speak. Did anybody else make a statement or speak to reporters off camera?
You know, I talked to a neighborhood. Well, the neighborhood here is actually it's a very tight group. They were actually blocking some photographers from filming. Okay. After Don made his speech, he went back in his house. And then he came back to thank the neighbors that came out. He was hugging them, and some of the neighbors actually were kind of blocking cameras and from filming that, because there was a lot of tears and mm-hmm. That were being shed right there. But I talked to just one other neighbor who said that, he knew Don. He's lived here for a number of years, and he was getting to know Justine and just how tragic this whole event was. That she, she was a yoga teacher, a meditation teacher as well, and she was just calling to report possibly some kind of sexual assault that was happening in the alleyway that she heard, and she winds up dead.
From what I know, it's a lovely neighborhood, Edgar.
Yeah. I just moved into a new house. This is one of the neighborhoods we were thinking of moving into. Mm-hmm. We were looking at a house in this area, and it's really lovely. It's just south of Lake Harriet, so it's a really great area.
Hmm. Other news media, they must be also chatting that I can't believe they're on another story like this again. I feel sad about the whole thing. I can't believe I'm reporting on it again. Yeah. What's the feel out there?
Everyone here that, it's funny because there's a lot of network reporters that I got to kind of, rub elbows with here, and, they were covering the Castile case, and now they're back out here, and I'm sure they'll be sticking by for this particular case. So yeah, there's, I think we're a little bit, tired of hearing officer involved shootings and that kind of stuff. So I think a lot of folks are a little tired of it.
We also heard how, I agree with you. I am also. I have fatigue already from covering these stories. We also heard how frustrated Don seemed. He said in one of his statements that he hasn't heard anything more from the Minneapolis police. And I can imagine this happened already now 2 days ago. It was Saturday night. And I'm really surprised that they haven't been more communicative with him.
Well, just from experience, from watching, and I don't know what Minneapolis's procedures are, but in St. Paul, when Officer Geronimo Yanez, the officer who shot and killed Philando Castile, he gave his statement to the BCA, I think, the day after the shooting. Mm. So they may have already taken a statement from him, the Bureau, the BCA, but I don't know exactly, we haven't received any of the details regarding the shooting. And my understanding is that she approached in her pajamas,
yes,
the driver's side of the police cruiser in the back alley. And you do know how the homes in this area are set up. You got a main road. Mm-hmm. And then in the back of the house, you have an alley that you drive down. That's where you park your car in your garage. That's where you put your trash out. My understanding is that she was in her pajamas, walked out to the police cruiser on the driver's side of the police cruiser. And the officer, Officer Noor, I believe is his name, shot from the passenger side across the other officer and hitting Damone.
That's what we're hearing also. So I had lots of questions, too. Thanks for being out there for us, Edgar, and covering that press conference. And thanks for the very latest.
You got it.
Edgar Linares, everyone. He was out there. You can see it on Facebook Live. We streamed the press conference. And if you could hear the emotion in Don DeMond's voice, too, as he was talking about his fiance who was gunned down on Saturday night. When we get back, we're going to lighten things up. We're going to go beyond the headlines today. Many brides are in a tizzy because the gown that they have ordered for their big day was ordered at a store that is now closed. And how many contacts can you lose in your eyes? Could it be more than 5, 10? Could it be more than 20? You will tear up when you hear some of these stories in Beyond the Headlines when we return.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back. It's Jordana. It is 4:40. Wow. This day is whooshing by, as Susan said. It's going pretty fast. Oh, we're going to lighten things up a little bit. We are still keeping an eye, as you know, on that sad news story out of Minneapolis and the death of Justine DeMond. But there is other news. There are other headlines that fall through the cracks. We pick them up and we share them for you. Are you getting married? If you are, I hope you haven't bought your gown at Alfred Angelo. I can already see the Brizillas stomping through the streets when they saw the doors were closed when they went to pick up their gowns. This is true, and this is a horrific bride story. Alfred Angelo is a Florida-based bridal shop. It is apparently shut down without telling its customers or its employees. Brides across the country are outraged. Many have already paid for their gowns or put money down. One woman I saw on the news this morning said, I have no bridesmaids' dresses. They're already paid for. We were just going to pick them up. And the doors were closed. They could not get in. It's an unexpected closure. Nobody saw it coming. One of the brides said, this is the worst day of my life. Well, I hope things get better for her. And I hope it's really not the worst day of her life. Or if it is, that's great because she's going to have a great life. Alfred Angelo's bridal wear is sold at more than 2,500 stores around the world. They have 60 Alfred Angelo signature stores in the U.S. The company has not posted any information about the store closures on its website or on official social media and has not responded to any media requests. The employees of the bridal company arrived at work on Thursday morning to discover they no longer had jobs and the company was folding. Can you imagine? I honestly feel bad. I know these are first world problems, but if you're making a wedding and you've already paid for your gown or your bridesmaids' dresses and you go to pick it up and the doors are locked, oh boy, Bridezillas unite. Don't worry, because David's Bridal, its competitor, is there to help you. David's Bridal is offering a discount to anyone who purchased a wedding or a bridesmaid dress from Alfred Angelo and didn't receive them. The customers will receive 30% off wedding dresses and 20% off of bridesmaids' dresses. But you still might be out the money, which is crazy. I read also this morning that I believe the company is in debt anywhere from $50 to $100 million. And I guess just did not see their... I know that's a whole lot of money. Jonathan Lowe is laughing about that one. That is a lot of money. That's right, Jonathan.
First of all, I just bet David's Bridal is just so happy to help out. Hey, why don't you come on over and get a dress from us?
Here's a coupon.
Yes, half off. Half off
only 30%, Jonathan.
Half off for your BOGO for your friends. Tell them about us.
Terrible.
Second,
sad.
$50 to $100 million in debt?
Didn't you see that coming?
That's
Jonathan,
ridiculous.
I'm with you. $50 to $100 million. So I feel bad for the brides, but head on over to David's and see if you can get yourself a 30% off, right? I feel bad for them. Oh, hold on. See, thank God for Jonathan. Hold on. Here we go. Yes. Got the swoosh in there. All right. You got to be reminding me, J-Lo. I'm glad he's back. I haven't seen him since I was working at night, and I've missed my Jonathan. Doctors find, get this, not one, not two, not three, not five, not 10, not 20, but 27 contact lenses lost in a woman's eye in England. I'm not even kidding about this. There was a write-up in the British Medical Journal that says doctors found 27 contact lenses in a 67-year-old patient's eye when she was being prepped for eye surgery. According to the journal, the lenses were clumped together in a bluish mass, and I hope you're not eating right now, bound together by mucus. I kind of want to vomit even thinking about that. I wear contacts every day. And mine are, like, I have a bad astigmatism, so they're, like, hardcore contacts. I can't live without them. They're not even dailies. They don't make dailies in my prescription. I have to keep them. I cannot imagine having more than one in my eye, ever.
This is the best story for me because I refuse to wear contacts. People have asked, why don't you wear contacts? I don't like the way that I don't like things touching my eye. This is the perfect story for me to continue to not wear contacts.
27 contacts. Well, one of the workers who was prepping the patient says, I was shocked. She was seen 2 weeks after I removed the lenses. And she said, by the way, her eyes felt a lot more comfortable. You think? The worker said, none of us have ever seen this before. That's why she chose to publish the case, because most doctors didn't think it was possible for someone to lose so many contacts in their eyes without suffering serious symptoms. The patient had worn monthly contact lenses for 35 years and rarely visited the eye doctor during those years, but she had cataracts. So last November, doctors were injecting anesthesia into her eyes for surgery when they paused, surprised by this bizarre discovery. So they were all removed. She says she feels much better. Maybe that's what was causing the cataracts, and hadn't seen the doctor.
The good news is we've removed a boulder from behind your eye. The bad news is there is no bad news. We removed a boulder from your eye.
Can you imagine? I'm a contact wearer, and I couldn't even imagine putting two in. One of them, at the end of the day, they're all itchy and scratchy, and I can't wait to get them out and put on my glasses for the rest of the day. I couldn't even imagine. That's right. Thank you, Jonathan Lowe, keeping me on task with my swooshes. Over the weekend, Chinese censors blocked users of WeChat and Weibo. And by the way, that's like Twitter in China. That's their biggest microblogging platform, WeChat and Weibo. They blocked them from using the name of the most famous resident in the Hundred Acre Wood. Yes, I'm talking about Winnie the Pooh. So if you're in China and you are on WeChat or Weibo, you cannot write Winnie the Pooh. Because, you know, it's China and they can do that, I guess. Winnie the Pooh, as you know and I know, is a beloved children's icon. He's blacklisted in China because, get this, of the comparisons between Winnie and China's president. This is not fake news. Hashtag real news, not fake news. The character's name in Chinese was censored in the posts because there are memes of Winnie the Pooh walking and the Chinese president Xi Jinping walking. And I have to say this, he is a short little stubby man and he sort of walks like Winnie the Pooh. He kind of looks like him, especially when you have the memes of them side by side. They look the same. They really do. So WeChat said any attempts to post Pooh's Chinese name on Weibo, you would get this message. Content is illegal. So if you post that on WeChat or Weibo, content is illegal. They will not have it. They have banned it. The memes, by the way, first started cropping up in 2013 when President Barack Obama was visiting President Xi Jinping and they were walking together. And President Barack Obama, he's long and lean. So someone said, wow, he looks like Tigger next to Jinping's Winnie the Pooh. And therefore, millions of memes were born. And now poor Winnie has been banned in China. Very sad. I'm sorry for all you Pooh lovers, or if you're going to put them up in your nursery, right? We love that Winnie the Pooh. Oh, my goodness. It's super late, Jonathan. I don't have time for any more. This is terrible. I had so many other ones. Gosh, Trump's lawyer went on a Twitter rampage. Or no, it was an email rampage. I had some Alzheimer's news, but alas, I will have to save them for tomorrow. It is 4:49, and that is a Wicks and Jewelers time check. Explore an exceptional collection of luxury jewelry and Swiss watches at Wicks and Jewelers just off 35W in Bloomington. Maybe I can sneak in one more story I had in Beyond the Headlines. You might have seen it over the weekend. It was this crazy email exchange with one of President Trump's lawyers. He's got a lot of lawyers. This guy's name is Mark Kasowitz. He was sent an email, I guess a few days ago. The dates have been, a lot of it's redacted. It began on Wednesday. The emails began on Wednesday at about 9 p.m. This email read like this. Mark, you don't know me. I don't know you. But I believe it is in your interest and the long-term interest of your firm for you to resign from your position advising the president, RE, pending federal legal matters. No good can come from this. And in fact, your name may turn out to be a disparaging historical footnote in the presidency of DJT. So a man sends an email to the president's lawyer, Mark Kasowitz, says, I think you should resign. I think it's better for you and better for your firm if you resign. Mark Kasowitz, President Trump's lawyer, responds with a word that starts with the letter F and then has three more letters after it. And then it says you.
I didn't know he was into Ford F-150s. I didn't know. He was into trucks.
That's the response.
Truck you.
And then he continues with a follow-up email that says this. And you don't know me, but I will know you. How dare you send me an email like that? I'm on you. You are, that F word again, with me now. Let's see who you are. Watch your back. Word that starts with a B and has four letters following that. So now there's a lot of expletives flying around in these emails. This person responds back to President Trump's lawyer, thank you for your kind reply. I may be in touch as appropriate. Mark Kasowitz responds, bleep, call me. Bleep, if you want a conversation, I will have it with you. You are such a piece of, then a word that starts with the letter S and has three letters that follow that. Call me. Don't be afraid, you piece of, that word again that starts with the letter S. Stand up. If you don't call, you're just afraid. Call me. And it went on and on. And then they started throwing the Jewish thing around. I presume you're Jewish. Stop being afraid. Call me. Or I'll give me your number. I'll call you. I already know where you live. That's what he said. I already know where you live. I'm on you. You might as well call me. You will see me. I promise, bro. That's how it ended.
He is all that with bro?
Bro. That was an email exchange from the president of the United States lawyer to some guy who told him to resign. The emails are now in the hands of the FBI. And so it goes on. I'll see you after the news.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.